Hello, welcome to another segment of Business Way Outside the Box, sponsored by PR Works. We look for companies that either have businesses that are highly unusual or deliver their business in an unusual way. If you have a business that meets that description or know of one, please let us know at www.prworkzone.com. Today we have a guest with us who meets the criteria for our show. Selectech is a company that has been a major innovator in flooring, both commercial and residential. They produce flooring primarily made of recycled materials, and all of the flooring itself is recyclable. One of the advantages of the flooring is that it can be put down over existing flooring, and it can be removed easily without adhesives. Let me introduce Tom Riccadelli, who has been a long-term client of ours, and has an undergrad degree and a master's degree from MIT. I guess no one else would accept him. So welcome, Tom.
Hey, Steve. It's great to be here.
Yeah. So let me start talking about really kind of the latest news that you guys have, which is because of the nature of your flooring, and maybe you can describe it better, you've been spec'd for a lot of these COVID emergency clinics, hospitals, and labs.
Yeah, our flooring, as you mentioned a bit ago, it's a unique system that installs without adhesives. It just snaps into place, which makes the installation a lot quicker. It's relatively thick and resilient, so it can go on top of an existing floor, including carpet. And then we've designed the interlock in a way that we can make the tile completely liquid tight, which in a healthcare setting could be an important feature. So we've combined all these features. You know, it's free floating, it interlocks, it's portable, can be put down on existing floors, and it can be made liquid tight. So kind of a unique combination of attributes that make it good for these types of applications.
And it took you guys a while to get to where you are today. You've continued to jigger with the formula, jigger with your outreach to the right audiences. Tell us a little bit about sort of the bumps in the road.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that we have the most experience in is bumps in the road, literally. We started our business in 93 as a recycling business. Our goal was to make products using materials that were difficult to use. We wanted to reclaim things that were being disposed of and make good products with them. Along the way, we made a number of different products, decorative planters. We made this enormous landscape timber look like a giant Lego block, a lane divider system that you see on the highways, a lot of different things, all from really difficult to recycle plastics. And along the way, we got introduced to a company that wanted to convert old carpet waste into a flooring product. And so we invented sort of the first product we have. We have a new, we've since, as you said, improved upon it, but we've kind of gone from being sort of this recycling business to a flooring business that uses recycled materials. And the twists and turns in the road along the way have been, you know, a lot of it's been due to, business dynamics, the business environment. We've gone through a couple of recessions, which, you know, changed what we were selling, who we were selling it to. And as we got into flooring, we learned very much the hard way that it is a very competitive business. And we had to focus on unique niches where our technology brought additional value to the customer. So the attributes I mentioned a minute ago, where we have this product that can go over existing floors, can be made completely liquid tight, those are attributes that serve the healthcare industry very well. We also specialize in a static control version of our product, where we can go into factories that need a static free environment. And one of the ways you do that is with a flooring that does has certain properties. And we can go into an existing factory and snap the floor in without them ever shutting down, which saves them a lot of money. the downtime to their production is worth more than the cost of our floor. So again, those unique technical environments. And like I said, we've had to bob and weave and learn this the hard way. We found these different niches just really out of necessity. It was either, you know, change and modify and adapt or go out of business. So fortunately, I can say we were able to make all those pivots, as they say in the business world, and end up in a place where we're successful.
And so tell me a little bit about those niches. One of them is electrostatic manufacturing, or manufacturing that uses any electricity. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so like most of the companies that make electronic products, so the components within a computer, within a control system, with any type of electronic apparatus, they're very sensitive as components. Once they're packaged inside, say your laptop, they're protected. But when they're being assembled into the device, they're incredibly sensitive to static. So, you know, we're all familiar with touching a doorknob and feeling a shock. You don't feel a shock until at least 3,000 volts. So you're getting, when you feel that, it's 3,000 volts or even more. A sensitive device can be damaged at 50 volts. So you could damage a device and not even know it. So it's very important to keep those environments as static free as possible. And one of the primary ways you do that is with it's really a floor that has conductivity in it. So it takes a charge and conducts it to ground. Takes it away from people, it takes it away from work carts. And there's a whole system to that. And having the floor is sort of the base layer to that. So having a floor that is reliable, dependable, and does the job is incredibly important. So our system, because it's a full system that connects to itself, depends on itself. So with conventional floors, you either paint them on or glue them down. And there are lots of things that can go wrong with that. The glue could be bad. The glue could be put on improperly. The paint could be put on improperly. There could be an issue with either of those two things bonding to the subfloor. Since our system is fully contained into itself, there's really nothing that can go wrong with it. So it gives customers an incredibly reliable static control system.
Okay. And similarly for labs, mm-hmm. have unique needs as well. And that's a new market for you.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. And again, this is one of our, you know, sort of bobbing and weaving, identifying these new movements within an industry. So labs now, one of the movements is that they be flexible. You know, what labs do changes so frequently and rapidly. And, you know, they might want to have, like in a teaching environment, they might want to have a lab that does one thing this year and something different next year. So this whole concept of flexibility in a lab environment is becoming sort of a thing in the industry. And, you know, a part of that would be having a floor that's installed, you know, without adhesives, and you can move it. So it contributes to that. And then, as you mentioned earlier, the need to set something up quickly in this environment is another sort of attribute that the floor contributes to.
Okay. So you're making very unique floors that are meeting specific needs. What are the things that sort of drive you on a daily basis, motivate you on a daily basis to continue to, you know, meet the challenges of a competitive industry?
Yeah. So like, as I mentioned earlier, we learned the hard way that flooring is very competitive. So we've stayed away from the traditional types of markets, you know, households, general office space. It's just so there, and the companies that compete in those markets are big companies with good resources, lots of good people, you know, they're smart. And we just wouldn't be able to compete against that. What motivates me is, you know, as you mentioned earlier, I came from MIT, I like technology. Competing in a technical market is something that I gravitate towards. It's, you know, it's something where I can leverage my education, feel like I'm contributing. I mean, to the level that in static control, we actively participate in the Static Control Association. We are members of the committees that set the standards. I actually chair the flooring committee in the Static Control Association. And in the lab market, we just joined a group called CEFA, the Scientific Equipment Furniture Association. And we are going to be starting, and I will be chairing the flooring committee within that group. So these are areas where I get to use, you know, the things that I like, the things that I've been educated towards, and provide some value to the industry. And it's, I always enjoy talking to a customer that doesn't really know what they need or want and helping them get to the right solution. And it, like, again, with my background, it's fairly easy for me to do that. And in the conventional flooring competitors, the big companies, they don't gravitate towards these niches because they're too big. And so they don't have the people that have necessarily the technical background that I do, nor the inclination to go after it. So it's nice. You know, I get to help people and get them good solutions and feel like I'm contributing.
And similarly, one of the things you do is you mentor young entrepreneurs from MIT, right?
I do, yeah. I mean, I there's a group at MIT called the Venture Mentoring Service. It's been in existence for at least 15 years. And I was one of their first mentees. I was starting my business. I was getting knocked around quite a bit. And I saw this in an MIT publication right on the cover. There was this new service. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need that. So I reached out, and they were so helpful to me. And, as we got on our feet and kind of, got our trajectory going in the right direction, I thought, I'll give back. So I serve on mentoring teams. We help, I don't know how many mentees we have as an organization. There are, I think, more than 200 mentors and hundreds of mentees and companies. A lot of them are, not even startups. People that, hey, I have this idea. Do you think I could turn it into a business? And we can help those individuals at that stage, or we're helping, I'm involved in one group that's an existing company. It's been around for a number of years, and they're expanding internationally. And there are all kinds of really high level issues, which, I can help a little bit, but the other mentors are honestly a lot more helpful than I am. Okay. That's the nice thing about being on a mentor team. I actually learned probably as much as the mentees in many of these situations.
Great. And so what would your number one tip be to somebody who's starting a new business like yours, where they're trying to explore creating an innovative product and trying to create a market or reach a market that is niche? What would your number one tip be?
Number one or number 15? I got 15. Number one, the most important thing, and I see this mentoring, it starts with belief, right? And I've actually helped mentees where they had a good idea and they didn't believe in themselves. And honestly, what I was trying to provide as a mentor was really just encouragement. I had no idea, like, the technology of what they were doing. It starts with a belief that you can make it happen. Beyond that, you have to do your homework. So you gotta, some ideas are pie in the sky and they probably don't merit a business venture. But, if you've done your homework and it looks like there's an opportunity, believe in yourself and don't be afraid to ask for help. People look at the mentoring group. I mean, you can find help much more easily than most people think. Just ask. And then from there, just, follow your passions.
Okay. And then sort of going off script a little bit as well, if we were to Google you, there's a fair amount of information about you online, which I've already gone through and researched in preparation for this. But what would we not find that's sort of interesting that most people don't know about you?
Oh boy, I think I'm pretty much an open book. It's funny because Joe DiRamo knows this, but I play hockey every Friday. I haven't during the crisis, and it's been a little frustrating. Everybody in my group likes to say, I'm still playing hockey and I'm over 50. And we have got a couple guys in their 60s too. So it's a really fun activity. There's a weird camaraderie to hockey. I have no idea why it exists, but it does, and it's great. We've been playing together for 20 years, this group of guys. And we hike together, we go out drinking together. We've been road biking together because we can't play hockey. That's something personal that, I'm proud of. I'm glad I do it.
Great. Okay. And lastly, what's the best way to reach you for people to obtain more information about commercial flooring? And one of the things that we really didn't talk about was basement flooring. You do a little bit of residential interlocking basement flooring as well. But what's the best place to reach you to get more information about your products or contact someone from your company?
Yeah, we have a great website. It's www.selectech, selectech.com. And my email is TRICCA, kind of a shortened version of my name, TRICCA@selectech.com. Everything's there. We've worked really hard on that, as you know, and it's got a lot of good information.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Tom. I just want to thank everybody for listening or watching today. This has been another episode of Business Way Outside the Box, sponsored by PR Works. You can find us at prworkzone.com. If you know of a business that's way outside the box, please let us know, and we'd be happy to consider them for a future episode. Thanks. We'll see you again soon.